Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. This is Leslie Dorries. Trust is an essential element for a successful relationship. In fact, I would argue that it is the essential element. Unfortunately, it isn't always present, and it shows up in varying degrees. And one of the worst I ever saw was a few years back when I had a couple come walk into my office, and he literally was staring at the floor. And as I talked to them, it became apparently clear that she had a real issue any time he would see a woman that she thought was attractive. And so he'd be sitting there watching a football game or a basketball game on television, and the cameraman would find the most attractive woman in the audience with probably a low-cut top and focus on her, and she would get furious at him for seeing this person. Or if an attractive woman walked by their table at dinner, she would get really mad and accuse him of wanting to sleep with her and all these other things, to the point where he just gave up and literally was staring at the floor. And, you know, her request of him not to interact with 50% of the population was both unreasonable and irrational. But, you know, and it was causing serious, serious problems. And I looked at her, I looked at him, and I told him, I said, okay, right now, stop doing that. This is not your issue. This is her issue, and she's got to figure out a way to deal with it. And, you know, there's an idea out there that trust is about your partner, but that's not really true. Trust is about you. And like in the example that I just gave, many people try to control their spouse's behavior, and maybe that describes you. Unfortunately, no matter how much you try, your partner is always going to be in charge of their own choices. And so what do you do with suspicion and jealousy and insecurity, and how you deal with that is really going to impact your relationship. So joining me today to talk about real trust and the impact of suspicion on your relationship is Linda Mastriani. She's a life coach, and she's a Huffington Post contributor. And Linda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
So tell me a little bit about what you've learned in working with your clients about the role of trust and suspicion in their relationships.
Right. Well, in working with the couples that I work with, one thing is for certain with any relationship, especially an exclusive relationship, a committed relationship, is respect and trust is non-negotiable. And you cannot have respect and trust for your partner if you have a suspicious mind, if you are constantly doubting them and you mistrust them. So you cannot, you're not starting off on a solid foundation to begin with. And the majority of the couples that I work with, their trust issues, a lot of them stem from having previously been betrayed, being cheated on with their spouse that cheated on them, or just coming out of an abusive relationship, an emotionally abusive relationship, and just having that trust issue, not being able to move forward.
And I hear that, you know, and I mean, and you know, I think that any of us who have ever been in more than one relationship have probably experienced that kind of betrayal. And my viewpoint is that if somebody's going, that you have to be trustworthy, and yes, we have to find, you know, other, you know, find partners who are trustworthy, but we can't control what they do. All we can do, in my view, is make a choice about what we're going to do when we're confronted by their behavior. Does that even sound normal?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I coach my clients, is that you have to trust yourself enough to know that should you be confronted with this type of situation, that you are strong enough and mature enough and intelligent enough that you will be able to make the right decision and move forward from there. But you have to trust yourself. And by trusting yourself that you know what you're going to be doing later on, that you place that trust in your partner as well. and you have that respect for the other person because they haven't. Starting off a relationship, you have to start off with the mutual respect. The person has not done anything to betray you or your trust. So if you're thinking of something that's happened in the past and you're bringing it into your relationship right now, it can't possibly move in a positive direction.
Well, yeah, and doesn't that idea sort of underlie, you know, when we get global about behavior, you know, all men are dogs, or you know, they all if they all cheat, I mean, or you know, or women, you know, are always looking for the next guy. I mean, it's sort of like we globalize this, and then I think that then sometimes that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely, and it's this standard that we try to, we build it up and think, okay, well, I deserve this, and this is what happened to me before, and I don't deserve that. This is what I want. This is what I need. And this is just this creation that we have in our mind of a certain person that doesn't exist when that person you're with right now is who you should be concentrating on. You know what I mean? It's this idealism of this perfect person who will never do you wrong, who will always do the right thing, say the right thing, and life isn't perfect. Relationships are not perfect. And I find that that's the beauty in it, is that we learn and we grow.
Well, that's also the scary part of it, because I know there are all these, I mean, what the statistics now, I think some divorce attorneys are talking about the number of cases that crop up because Facebook or social media in some way. And I've actually seen it in my own office where somebody connects with like an old high school love, or you know, and then you know, and then it's like, well, what's really going on, you know? And it's like, you know, and this, you know, we could always do that. I think we could always go back and you know try to reconnect with some former love, because of course we all do the, oh, it really wasn't so bad. We all go back and look at those old relationships with rose-colored glasses, meaning that if they'd really been good, we'd still be in them.
Right. So, and that's also the disadvantage of this day and age with social media. And it presents to be the major problem that I have with the clients that I coach, because a lot of them use social media as a tool for checking up on their partner. And having a suspicious mind and not trusting them, very easy to do that. And so they surf their web page and their Facebook page and all their social media page and look for messages, look for texts that might, you know, show them something that they'll read something into it that maybe is just, you know, very benign, nothing serious at all. And it's scary. It's scary for any relationship to start in that manner, with social media being just so open. There's no privacy.
Right, which, yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny you say that, because I actually am on social media. One, I got on it originally because I had teenage children, and I wanted to make sure it's like, okay, if you're going to be on Facebook, you have to friend me so I know what's going on.
Right.
And so that's really why I got on it. My husband is on it too, but we're of an age, you know, we're definitely, you know, not natives. We're definitely, you know, we kind of come into this and he goes, I think I'm just going to delete my Facebook page because, you know, he's never on it. And we even share, you know, we don't anymore, but we each have our own individual emails through work now. But when email first came out, our home email is actually one email. Mm-hmm. We share emails, which is kind of unheard of now.
Right, it is. And I don't knock social media. I think it's a great tool, especially when someone has a business. It's great reaching out to potential clients and other individuals that, you know, your services are very helpful. But when someone uses that as a weapon, if you will, to you know, attack, not attack, but just like their suspicion of their partner and use that against them. There's no respect in that. You have to have that level of security within yourself to know, you know, he's got his thing, I've got my thing, and it doesn't mean that he's cheating on me or she's cheating on me.
Right.
So I don't find that social media is a bad thing. It's a bad thing when you use it in a bad way.
Right. And, you know, and I think it's also important, something you were talking about, what you were describing to me is boundaries, is like mm-hmm. talking about what's okay. So in the example that I gave in the opening, which, I mean, I was truly stunned. I'm like going, okay, this, you know, this is taken to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who say that, you know, I don't want my partner to be friends with a member of the opposite sex because men and women can't be friends. And I go, well, and to me that's an underlying trust issue about, have you talked about what's acceptable behavior interaction with this other person?
Absolutely.
And clearly define it.
Yeah, because it's impossible to not have interaction with the opposite sex, whether it be with work, with friends, in a social environment. It's impossible to have that understanding with your partner what the boundaries are, because there are boundaries. And the biggest boundary, I would say, for a couple is being cheated on doesn't necessarily have to be in a sexual manner. So you can be unfaithful with your partner if you are sharing personal information with another person. That should just be exclusive with your partner. There's that emotional detachment. So there's so many different levels. So absolutely, setting boundaries is essential. And like the example you gave in the opening statement, is I've had a client as well with the same issue. And, I mean, there is always going to be someone more prettier than, you know, this woman, or more handsome than this gentleman. That's really not the
right.
issue. The issue is how to deal with it. They have to learn how to. Go ahead.
And that crops up a lot with past people. You know, I hear it's like, oh, well, this person was, you know, so much better looking than I am. It's like, yeah, but your partner chose you. I mean, they're with
right.
you now. Why are you afraid of somebody from 10 years ago?
Right. And this is also a lot of the clients that I work with, they have issues that have, past issues that have resurfaced with this type of situation
mm-hmm.
that came up. So it could have been one client was a betrayal she had 10 years before that just resurfaced in a specific situation that brought back all of these insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And it just triggered all at once. And she started to behave differently, and she started to be suspicious of him, started actually following him to the point where it was unsalvageable. He just didn't want to have anything else to do with her because he just felt that the respect and the trust was no longer there. And it was unfortunate, but she brought it to that next level when it was an issue that could have been very, I wouldn't say easily handled, but it could have been handled if they would have, or if she would have communicated a little bit more clearly where her
right.
insecurities lied.
And that gets scary. I mean, because, you know, I'm going to tell you that I'm worried about this.
And that's
what are you going to do with that?
That's owning up to your feelings. And that's where we take that step and say, okay, we have to communicate. In a relationship, if we don't communicate, there's really no reason to be together. You have to communicate how you feel, honestly,
yeah.
and understand where. And it's important that we know it's not about who's right, who's wrong. It's about being heard. If you can hear what I'm saying, how I'm
mm-hmm.
feeling. I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong, but if you can understand where I'm coming from. And when you communicate that, and when you get to that point, then you've got to be that big person and say, I'm going to own up to how I feel. So, yes, it's scary. This is how I feel. And so if your partner says, well, you feel that way, but I'm not making you feel this way, you have to be ready to own up to it and say, okay, well, this is how I feel. I appreciate when you pay attention to me and or whatnot, and you come to these understandings of what is expected and what you need to do with your insecurities, because it's not up to the other person to wipe out all of your insecurities.
Well, and the other person may not even know they exist. I mean, many years ago, my husband was planning a surprise party for one of my major birthdays, and he was acting in ways that really got me crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is he doing? And you know, and I'm not by nature a suspicious person, but suddenly he's like, he was becoming secretive, and he was doing all this stuff. And finally, I was like a dog with a bone, and it's like, you have got to tell me what you're doing. So he walks down the stairs and he hands me the invitation to my surprise party. And I had always wanted a surprise party. But, you know, and so my next major birthday came around. He goes, you know, you're not getting a surprise party. I go, yeah, I know. But that was, I mean, because I had convinced myself he was leaving.
Right.
And, you know, and that had nothing to do, I mean, that was nothing to do with him.
Nope. And it's amazing to think how we can have one negative thought in our mind and focus on that thought, and it just keeps on growing. We're feeding on it. We're just nurturing it, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what happens when you don't communicate. When you don't communicate with your partner and you assume, you start filling in the blanks.
Right.
So if you're thinking of something that your partner is doing and you're not communicating to them how this is making you feel, and you start imagining all these things, then you're filling up the blanks. And so you're asking and answering the questions at the same time.
Right. And for some weird reason, we never pick the positive interpretation of that blank. We always pick the worst possible scenario, like my husband was going to leave me because he was getting secretive.
I don't know why, but human nature seems to just believe the negative more easily than the positive. We have a hard time accepting a compliment from someone. And when you say, you're beautiful today, we're like, oh, we feel so uncomfortable, as opposed to saying, thank you very much. You know, it's just,
right, well, we'll go, well, no, you know, no, my hair's not really good, or...
answer
you know.
With a negative, exactly. And
right.
So saying, thank you, absolutely. And I think what's also very, very important for a couple... to have a very strong relationship is to disconnect. I tell my clients, you need to disconnect in order to reconnect together. So disconnect from all electronics, your phone, your laptop, your iPad, and spend that quality time together. So the couples that I coach with children, I'll tell them, have your kids have dinner, put them to bed, and have your dinner after that. Connect together.
I love that.
Yeah, and if you can't, take that 15 minutes in the morning before everybody wakes up. Have that cup of coffee together. Just to chat. What's your day lined up today? What do you have? Anything special? Mm-hmm. Those 15 minutes that you give to one another in the morning is pretty much, you know, all you need to know that you're still on that same page. You're still wanting to be together. And moving forward from there. When we just get so caught up on our phones, on work, and everything else, we don't leave room for the people that we're building our life with.
Exactly. I just wanted to remind my listeners that this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net, and I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking with Linda Mastriani about trust and respect and love and connection, and I think it's a great conversation, and we're going to continue with this, but if you would like more information and more help with your relationship, you can always check out my book, Blueprint for a Lasting Marriage, How to Create Your Happily Ever After with More Intention, Less Work. And now we're going to go right back into that connecting, and it's great because I tell my clients that you know they need to be spending at least a half an hour, you know, 20 minutes to a half an hour a day just with each other, because if you know what a lot of people do is what I call informational exchange, the 5 minutes, You know, when you're coming home, what do you want from the grocery store? Does Susie
Right.
have a doctor's appointment? But if you're continuing to talk to somebody after 20 minutes, you've gone into the deeper, well, how do I feel about the meeting that, you know, that's coming up? Or how do I feel about, you know, where we're going to go on vacation? It's at a deeper level where we connect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important. When we invest all of our energy, and I even say it, even with special needs children, okay, I have special needs
mm-hmm.
children, and it does take a lot more work, and it's more challenging. But I'll tell the parents at the same time, you can't invest everything because you need that time for yourself, because if you're not well, you can never be well for your children. So you can't
Right.
invest everything into your children. You need that time as a couple, because when you're happy and your husband's happy, vice versa, your children will be happy. You need to invest that time together. And giving everything to everybody, at one point you will have to say no so that you can say yes to yourself and yes
well,
to the
and
couple.
And going back to this issue of trust, which I think is really important, when people don't spend time with each other, that as a couple, that to me leaves the relationship vulnerable to something from the outside. Whether it's, you know, because a lot of times people think of infidelity as being physical, and as you said before, it can just be emotional. It's sharing something with somebody that rightfully belongs to my partner.
Absolutely.
And if we're not taking that time to share with our partner, and somebody else comes along and wants to hear about our job or wants to hear about our goals or wants to hear about something, then wow, here you know, it's like I'm starving and somebody feeds me.
Exactly. Somebody's paying attention, and we like that. We want that as humans. We like to be validated.
Mm-hmm.
To know that we matter, we exist, we're here. And when someone asks us, well, tell me about that. How does that make you feel? And where are you going with this? You're all of a sudden thinking, wow, I'm seen. I'm here and
right.
I'm being seen. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that's very, very important to have that trust. And when I've always told my clients the beginning of any relationship, what's non-negotiable is the respect and the trust for one another. But you also have to know and understand that you're on the same page. You want the same thing. That couples do, unfortunately, over time, go on different paths. So are you still on the same path? Do you still want to go in that same direction? And if you
Right.
do, this is where you have to start investing. So absolutely spend more time with each other. And communicate more. And one thing I also tell my clients to do is to write a gratitude journal. Just to
oh,
keep
I
a
love
very,
that. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's something so simple and yet so difficult at the same time and so rewarding. They write just one thing. I ask to start with one. What are you mm-hmm. grateful for today? And it's often I ask, say something about your partner. What are you grateful for?
Well,
what
and that goes into
them?
That appreciation that you know, I think the last call I was talking with, the last interview I did, I was talking about, you know, the how you go from being all about your partner to what have you done for me lately. It's
right.
it's losing track of being grateful for what you're building together. And, you know, but what do you tell people who maybe their partner truly has betrayed them, maybe not even intentionally, but you know, we're talking about kind of people tend to grow apart, which is one of the reasons that people come see me, and sometimes one of the ways they realize that they've grown apart is maybe they found an email or maybe they found a text message to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they found a Facebook post that, you know, in and of itself maybe, you know, not that bad, but you're kind of going, whoa, this is going in a direction I don't want it
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
And most people react with anger. How could
right.
you do this to me? Blah, blah, blah. What do you tell your clients?
The first thing I'll tell my client is exactly what I said before, is do you still want to be on this journey together? And if
mm-hmm.
your answer is yes, then where is that stemming from. So there is an underlying issue. So is it because you're missing something with your partner, whether it be that communication, the intimacy? Maybe they've started arguing a little bit more at home and there's less respect for one another. So there's something that's happening there. And so there's not only one partner to blame. There's always, it's always a mix of both that have contributed into something that what initially was healthy has now become unhealthy. So the
right, it's the blame game. And something that you said earlier, and I wanted to say something about it, because you talked about in a conversation that I feel this way, you don't necessarily make me feel this way.
Right.
And you know, and that's key. Actually, there's a colleague of mine, his name's Terry Real, who talks about, I choose to feel this way. And I can hear all my listeners going, I'm not choosing to feel hurt. I'm not choosing to feel angry. And my response is, if you just take a step back and breathe and look at it, you'll realize that you are on some level choosing to feel that way, which means if we choose to feel that way, we can always choose to feel another way.
Right. And that is where the communication is important, where you approach your partner and say, I just found this. I'm not happy with it. It's unacceptable to me. This is how it makes me feel. And so it's not a question of him saying or her saying, I'm sorry, you're right, it's wrong. It's understanding, it's being heard. So it's having them understand where it is that you're coming from. But
this goes back to that setting clear rules that because if somebody is friendly and flirtatious, you know, and first off, can we define what flirtatious is? I may just think I'm being friendly, but my partner may think I'm flirting, and that may not be okay. And it's kind of what you're talking about having that conversation about this is what makes me feel unsafe, insecure in this relationship. It's not necessarily that you're doing anything wrong, because I don't do right and wrong either. But it's, this is how I feel when this happens. And I'm wondering if we could come up with another solution or another game plan, I guess would be a better thing.
Yep, absolutely. And specific situations that continuously come up. I had one client where these situations surfaced very often when they went out for dinner. She just felt that her partner was flirting with every hostess or waitress at the restaurant, whatever restaurant they went to. And so this was an issue that she had. And so what are the boundaries? So if it's just a good evening, thank you very much, and that is offensive to you, then there's obviously a different set of guidelines that we're going to have to work with here. There's
right.
certain
and it's,
situations.
And it's not just your way, like with my client that I was describing earlier, where she goes, you can't look at another woman, and he just kind of acquiesced, and I'm like, well, stop that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I always go to, is it reasonable and is it rational?
Right.
You know, is it an okay thing to ask? To tell your partner, well, I don't want you interacting with 50% of the population, I don't think is either reasonable or rational.
No.
But it's here's how it would be helpful. And I one of the things I tell my clients is kind of have this rule of thumb. Would I do this behavior with my partner standing right next to me? And if the answer is no, then I probably shouldn't be doing it. But if the answer is yes, then I still kind of have to ask my partner, you know, is this okay with you?
Right.
Because for me, I might not think there's, you know, I'm being friendly with the hostess or the waitress because, hey, I think it's going to get us better service, or I'm just a friendly kind of person, or,
right.
you know.
Absolutely.
But then I have to ask my partner, is this okay with you?
Yep. And that's, I think you've said it well. You have to ask yourself, if my partner would be doing this, or if I would be doing this, would that make them feel uncomfortable? So that would be putting yourself in their position and say, would I be doing that, yes or no? So that gives you a good indication of how the situation, you know, kind of plays out. But there are other people that have it to an extreme that's not healthy, that has to
Right.
be addressed. If you want that relationship to work, then those serious issues have to be addressed. And I find a lot of them have that tendency to bring past relationships, past mistakes, and that fear of happening again into the current. And that
right.
what keeps playing out is what if, the possibility of what if. Well, what if hasn't happened, and what if was something that happened in the past. So unless
right.
we live in the present moment and we
mm-hmm.
appreciate what it is that we have,
right.
it's going to be difficult to move forward and be happy. I also deal with a lot of relationships, couples that have they're into their second marriage or
right.
into a third relationship.
And if they haven't dealt with their own insecurities, they're just going to keep repeating it with the next partner. And I think you described somebody who left because he couldn't take her distrust of him.
Right.
And because one of the things I tell people, it's like they can't prove they didn't do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to hold them guilty for something they never did, then at some point in time they'll either go ahead and do it because they're already in trouble for it, or
mm-hmm.
two, like with your client, they leave. Going, yeah, I can't live in this atmosphere of constant mistrust and wondering, and suspicion.
Right, and being blamed for something that you haven't done.
Right.
It's a negative feeling, and it's very toxic. It's very toxic, and it weighs on a person and definitely on a relationship.
Right.
So there's issues that have to be dealt with in order to move forward.
So I think through this conversation, I think we both can agree to, and what I would like my listeners to take away is that we're responsible for our own happiness. We're responsible for our own triggers and insecurities, and finding a way to deal with those is one step in creating a good relationship built on trust and respect. And then we also have to create real boundaries. Be clear about what's okay, what's not okay, and that if we act honorably, if we act trustworthy, then we'll be trusted.
Yes, absolutely. And there's another tip that I like to that I share with my clients as well, is when these feelings of insecurity surface, write them down. What triggered
I like that.
It? Write them down
yeah.
immediately. What made you feel that way? Where were you? What was your surrounding? What caused you to feel this way? And just
mm-hmm.
keep that list. And when you speak to your partner, you have that with you, and you can let them know how that makes you feel. But understanding and being aware of your triggers, what happens when they occur, plays a big role in being able to overcome them.
Right. And it's important when we talk to our partners that we don't blame them, that we don't say, you did this. It's more of, I felt this way when this happened, because we are in charge of our own feelings and in charge of our own happiness. And and instead of trying to control our partners, which a lot of people do, we need to control ourselves. First and foremost.
Absolutely. There's no way anybody can control another person. There just isn't.
Yeah.
So it's just wasting
great,
energy.
Great in theory,
something.
But it doesn't work.
It doesn't happen. I mean, you can.
No.
I have one client that actually, like I mentioned earlier, was following her partner.
Mm-hmm.
And just, suspicion on everything. And just going to the grocery store became, oh, no, he's
yeah.
not going to the grocery store. He's going somewhere else. And so that's just, you can't control someone. You can only control
yeah.
yourself and how you feel.
Well, Linda, thanks so much for joining us. Can you please tell my listeners where they can find you and find out more about your way of helping people?
Absolutely. They can log on to the website at www.lindamastriani.com. I'm on
Do
Twitter.
Do you
want as
to spell
well.
Your last name?
Yes. So that's Mastrioinni. And
okay.
on Twitter, it's at Life Coach Success.
Okay. Well, great. And again, go to Linda's website, go to my website, which is afearlessmarriage.com. get more information about how to improve your relationship. And keep listening to this program, because my goal is to help you have a happier relationship. And so until next week, stay loving.